Why will churches often use a shell to symbolize holy baptism? The Issues Etc. book of the month for August is Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism. It's written by regular guest Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Behold the Lamb costs $9.49 plus shipping and handling. You can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. Behold the Lamb, an introduction to Christian symbolism.
This is not a message of unity that I'm hearing right now. This is really a message of exclusion. There's nothing like a vocalized prayer. It's just not enough to say, let's have a silent moment. It just doesn't cut it. It doesn't inspire. There's powers to words, and that's what families need to hear.
As Reverend Fernando Cabrera, pastor and New York City councilman, he is unhappy with New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has banned clergy from participation in this year's 9/11 memorial events down at Ground Zero. Joining us to talk about this and to explain why he thinks the mayor's idea of banning clergy down there is probably a good idea, Pastor Bill Swirla. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the weekly internet radio talk show called The God Whisperers, and he's author of a recent blog post titled No Clergy at Ground Zero. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
First of all, let's set some context. Why do we get all religious over 9/11?
And it's true that we do, and rightly so. I remember vividly the day. It was a Tuesday. I remember that because we were supposed to have our circuit pastors meeting that day. But it's an event of such enormity. Sudden loss of life. You know, you expect casualties in war, and we can absorb casualties from natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, things like that. But you know, this was just an ordinary work day like any other day. We saw buildings that weren't supposed to come down. Pentagon was attacked. Airplanes hijacked in midair and flown by people, you know, who weren't pilots. You know, it's surreal. Even today, when I think about the events of 9/11, it's just surreal. And I think when you put all of these things together, it's bigger than we are. It's an attack on our most primal fears, fear of security and safety, the illusion of safety we have in this country, you know, that we live our lives. We can pretty much plan our days, our weeks, our months, and we're not going to have things blown up under us and stuff like that. Fear of flying. Look at all the things that have happened since that has changed the course of just the way we conduct ourselves at the airport now. Flying is no matter what you think about it, it's already kind of a difficult thing to do because you're locked in this. You're helpless. You're in this airplane. You're in 30,000 feet. You don't know the people around you. I think so many of our deepest fears are pushed. It's only natural and right. I mean, this is we are spiritual people to turn to the spiritual realm, the religious, to the tools that we have at our disposal. This is not a bad reflex. I think it's a natural one and a right one, and something of the magnitude of 9/11 will call forth religious feelings in people.
Now, you say Mayor Bloomberg, who has banned clergy from the 9/11 memorial at the site of Ground Zero, you say, good for you, Mayor Bloomberg. You thank him for giving all us clergy a day off from the public square. Now, I can just hear someone saying right now, Swirla, you're promoting this radical separation between religion and state, just like Bill Maher, just like Christopher Hitchens, just like Sam Harris. What's your response?
Yeah, I do keep kind of strange company sometimes, don't I? First of all, let's be clear. The mayor has not banned people from the celebration, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a ceremony, an official planned ceremony. There are events surrounding that, and he has chosen not to. And he's also chosen not to include first responders, which has, you know, raised the ire of some people. The clergy and first responders haven't been included in the 9 years previous. I think there's a heightened sense in this one because it's a 10th year anniversary. But again, see, there's lots of symbolism being attached to this. And, you know, but my opinion is that clergy, as clergy, are representatives of their faith, their theology, the confessions they hold, the people that they're called to serve. They are not political, except for the guy who's kind of a both and, you know, he's a reverend and holds political office too. And this is primarily a political exercise. This is about a memorial of an attack on our country. It has religious undertones to it because the attackers happen to be Muslim radicals, but it was not an attack on Christianity. It was not an attack on religion per se. This was an attack on the place of America in the world, in the Middle East, American foreign policy, and the like. And the memorial in the civic square, in the public square, is really intended to remember those who lost their lives the day they were just going to work, like anybody else.
So, why is it that you say that the events of September 11th, 2001 were not inherently religious in nature? Maybe that kind of gets to the fact that the clergy may not need to be there at this political observation of that event.
Well, you know, the clergy can certainly be there, pastors, priests, whomever, and, you know, probably should be there as part of that mass of citizenry that were directly involved or in support of others who lost loved ones and all that. I don't think anybody's saying that. I don't think there's anybody saying check your collars at the door here. But, you know, I think when you put the clergy, especially a parade of clergy representing a diversity of faiths, a diversity of confessions, a diversity of gods, it sort of accentuates the fact, or it sort of pours religious gasoline on an event that, as I put it, has a religious undercurrent, but religion is not the primary motif. You know, guys, you mentioned Marr and Hitchens and especially Sam Harris. A lot of these guys, 9/11, 10 years ago, was life-changing for these guys. This is where this angry radical atheism began in this country, because they took an example of extreme Muslim fundamentalism and made it an indictment against all religion. And now some are going to say, well, just, you know, get all the religion to get up, play all the religions to get up on stage, play nice with each other, say a generic prayer to a generic god, yada yada, and you know, we'll show everybody that it's not true. But that's cloaking it behind a falsehood. I mean, the falsehood is there is no agreement in gods. Our religions don't unite us. But as Americans, we get along, and we work together, and we cohabit this country peaceably. But to do the parade of religions thing, I think, pushes a false syncretism is always false, but it attempts to clothe things with a syncretism that hides a greater truth.
Does it play into the hands of, as you note, American civil religion that has always in our brief history liked its religions on a short lease and as docile as possible?
Yeah, neutered, preferably. You know, it goes back to sort of the Jeffersonian model of what the value of religion in the public square is, and that is to make an obedient citizenry and a moral citizenry. People be good because they feel accountable to some god or, you know, this kind of thing. Jefferson had no use for the Christian gospel. He had no use for you know, the miracles, the divinity of Jesus, his resurrection, the atonement for sin that he worked, none of that stuff. It was Sermon on the Mount kind of things that really appealed. And, you know, you look in our history, and it's always been politically advantageous to co-opt the clergy, to put what I call as kind of a religious shellac on what you're doing, a veneer of religion, a little bit of God talk. You know, one of our former presidents always got in trouble. Jimmy Carter, the good Baptist Sunday school teacher, always got in trouble because he kept saying things like our Lord Jesus Christ. And his advisors would pull him aside and say, don't say that. Just say God. You know, don't say Jesus. Don't go Sunday school teacher on us because that gets everybody riled up. So just say generic God. And that's how that works in the public square. It's kind of, it's providence. It's what you read in all the founding documents of this country. It's sort of a deistic or, you know, at best a monotheistic approach to religion as a least common denominator to basically, you know, keep the citizenry moral and decent.
So finally, what are you going to be doing if not flying out to New York City to stand on the dais with politicians and dignitaries at Ground Zero? What are you going to be doing on Sunday, September the 11th?
Yeah, and it is a Sunday this year. Certainly the event is to be remembered in prayer. And, you know, prayer properly goes on in either two places, either in the secrecy of your prayer closet, you know, Jesus says, shut the door and pray to your Father in heaven, or in the company of those who share your confession, that is, you know, in the congregation, in the church. We will certainly pray for the nation, for those who've suffered loss, for peace in the world, for our enemies, for our slanderers, for those who hate us. You know, we're commanded by the Lord to pray for kings and rulers and all in authority, for all nations. And so this will be a day of prayer and specifically directed toward some of those events. Not going to mention it much in the sermon. There are bigger things on the plate, you know, unless it happens to come up, I suppose, incidentally with the text. But I would say prayer is the chief thing. And I'll hang my flag on my house. You know, it is a civic thing. It's a political thing. Mayor Bloomberg says he doesn't want to make it into a political thing. It is a political thing. It's about the body politic. It's about America. And it's a decisive, it's a critical event in our recent history that we dare not forget, that we're not as secure as we think we are, and the enemy is not these days countries, but it's ideologies and you know, things like that. So it's a good day for us to remember as Americans. But I think it's also a good day to keep a proper exercise of the distinction, not division, but distinction between the two kingdoms.
Pastor Bill Swiller is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of the weekly internet radio program called The God Whispers. You can read his blog post, No Clergy at Ground Zero, on the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Bill. We'll be right back.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A telling editorial.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent editorial in the Washington Post should bring a smile to pro-life faces. In her editorial, Frances Kissling, the former president of Catholics for Choice, despairs that the pro-abortion movement is losing support in America. She asserts that, quote, the fetus is more visible than ever before, end quote, and this is leading more and more Americans to see abortion as the killing of an unborn child. She complains that the pro-abortion movement is in, quote, a time warp, end quote, and needs to modernize its arguments. New and updated arguments, however, can't hide the fact that abortion kills.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.